Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, today on the Beacon Broadcast, I want to talk to you about Andronicus and Junia. You say, who? I never heard of them. And probably most Christians have not, but they show up in that list of names of believers that Paul values and commends in Romans chapter 16. Remember, the list goes something like this. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia, to Christ. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. So there you have it, Andronicus and Junia in Romans 16 and verse 7. Now, previously, we've heard about Epaphras and learned the value of Christian pioneers. We've heard about Mary and have learned something of the value of hard work. And now we are introduced to Andronicus and Junia, and here we learn the value of dedicated laymen. Who are these folks? Andronicus, a common Greek name, doesn't tell us much except that probably he had a background as a Hellenistic Jew, as opposed to a Jerusalem Jew, a Hebrew Jew. Junia, the feminine form of Junius, the masculine form, leaves us a little bit puzzled as to whether Paul is talking about two men who are friends or brothers, or whether we're talking about one man and one woman, a husband-wife team or a brother-sister team, and the form in the Greek doesn't make it crystal clear which of the two possibilities lie before us. We don't know whether we're talking about two men or one man and one woman. But one thing we do know is that they, like the others that Paul has greeted so far, are members of the church at Rome. Because, like the others, he's greeting them in this epistle that is going to Rome. And he says, greet Andronicus and Junia. But he also calls them my fellow countrymen. Fellow countrymen. Now, actually, the word is something more like kinsmen. But it's used in a broad sense. We can talk about our brothers, soldiers. We'll talk about their brothers, meaning their fellow soldiers. It doesn't necessarily mean a blood brother, but it means a fellow countryman, a fellow soldier. And so we're not sure again, in this case, whether Paul is talking about blood relatives or whether he's talking about fellow Jews, fellow countrymen in that sense. And I think that's more likely. Greet, as the translation that I'm reading from put it, they seem to lean to that way of interpreting and translating this phrase. So, greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen. And it's possible, of course, as his countrymen, fellow Jews, that they could also have been distant kin. Probably not very close, but could have been related. In fact, all of us are related if you trace out the lineage far enough. You understand that, of course. So at least we know that they are Jews. So even though Andronicus had a Greek name, we know that he was a Jew. He was a fellow countryman to Paul. Possibly a distant blood relative, but undoubtedly a fellow Jew, That much is very obvious and certain. But the history of these two and how they are related to Paul in the Lord is a little bit more puzzling. But Paul does make it clear that as to salvation, they were saved before Paul was. Again, verse 7, greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. You know, this verse raises more questions than it answers, but it's good to work down through them and explore them. Now, Paul was saved within about 2 years of the crucifixion of Christ. That's pretty close. But we read of a lot of Jews who were saved before that time. 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. In Acts 2:10, that's only days after the crucifixion, a matter of 40 or 50 days. And following that, we read of more and more and more, thousands, 10,000 or more Jews saved within the first few months after the crucifixion of Christ. And so, since these are Jews, and they were saved before Paul was, they weren't saved out, apparently, in the dispersion. They weren't saved when Paul or someone like him brought the message of the gospel out to wherever they lived, in Galatia or some other place in the dispersion out in the Gentile territory. But they were saved before Paul was, who was saved within 2 years of the crucifixion of Christ. I think it's pretty obvious that they were living in Jerusalem and were included among those converts who came into the kingdom of Christ in those early days, perhaps even on the day of Pentecost or one of those ingatherings that happened shortly thereafter. And if that's the case, Paul is now writing to them 20 years later, and they're still there. They're still following Christ. They're still serving the Lord. Because, you see, genuine converts persevere. Genuine converts stick. Why do we have so many casualties among the ranks of the converts to Christ today? Well, there perhaps are a number of reasons for it, but I think the biggest and most obvious one is because in our style of evangelism today, we are so busy making decisions rather than disciples and counting decisions and even baptizing decisions if we can catch them quick enough to baptize them. A lot of times we can't even get that far. They're gone before we can get to that place. And pronouncing them saved, since obviously multitudes of these who make decisions have never been born again, high percentages of them have never been born again. Of course they drop by the wayside. We're almost more surprised when somebody does stick for 20 years than if they don't. But in Paul's day, it was more the other way around. Did Paul have his defects? Yes. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Alexander the coppersmith hath done me much harm. The Lord reward him according to his deeds. Yes, there were converts in that day who defected, but they seem to be the exception, not the rule. They seem to be a very, very small minority, not the majority. And so whoever Andronicus and Junia were, they were Jewish believers in Jesus Christ who were saved within months after the crucifixion of Christ, and who were still serving the Lord decades later, when Paul writes in Romans 16:7, greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow countrymen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. He says two more things about them. He says that they are those who are of note among the apostles. Those who are of note, literally a word that means who have been stamped, bearing a mark among the apostles. In other words, they have an outstanding reputation among the apostles. That could be one way of understanding this phrase, and that's the way my Bible seems to translate it. It could possibly also be translated as outstanding as apostles, but that, of course, creates all kinds of questions, and since that translation is not necessary, I think we ought to choose one that raises fewer problems. It can mean outstanding like the apostles. Kent Hughes translates it, or explains it, with the phrase outstanding apostolic types. In other words, these are people who are as stalwart, faithful, and valuable to the service of Christ as the apostles. Perhaps that is what it means, but I'm going to go back to the first explanation. I think it's the simplest and the most likely one, that they had an outstanding reputation among the apostles. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow countrymen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles. It doesn't say that they are apostles, but they are people whose Christian service is so outstanding, it is so remarkable, it is so noteworthy, that they have an outstanding reputation among the apostles of Christ. And again, that should not be considered strange or difficult to believe when you think they were saved, evidently in Jerusalem originally, and the apostles all stayed in Jerusalem originally for a long time. So they were undoubtedly known by virtually all of the apostles who served as the pastors of the church at Jerusalem for those early days, and they earned a reputation as dedicated servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, who had an outstanding reputation among the apostles. Outstanding service for the Lord. But of course now they are in Rome. They have moved, probably because of persecution. The Christians in Jerusalem were scattered on more than one occasion because of persecution. In fact, that's alluded to in the next phrase, fellow prisoners. They are fellow prisoners. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow countrymen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Fellow prisoners, or more literally, fellow captives in war. If they were in prison with Paul, we certainly do not know when. No reference to that is found elsewhere in the Bible. They could have been in prison like Paul, not necessarily at the same time or in the same prison, but like Paul was frequently a prisoner for the Lord Jesus Christ. Andronicus and Junia may have been as well. But if they simply were sufferers in some other way, fellow captives in war, now, whatever it was, we know that their service was outstanding and that they sacrificed greatly for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their level of service as laymen is certainly outstanding, similar to the level of service that we have seen from apostles. No wonder Paul commends them. No wonder Paul greets them. No wonder Paul wants to publicly point them out for their outstanding service by listing their names in this epistle to Rome and calling the attention of the other members of the church at Rome to these outstanding individuals for whom Paul is greatly thankful because of their contribution to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we similarly serve the Lord. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.